Amen. Psalm 70. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for a reward of their shame that say, aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer, O Lord. Make no tarrying. Praise God. You may be seated. This is a prayer for God's help immediately. Amen. God's help now. I got to have help now. I can't wait till tomorrow. I need help now. How many of you have ever prayed that kind of a prayer? Lord, hurry up, God. Something's got to give. There's pressure on. Oh, God, hurry up and answer my prayer. And David prayed this kind of prayer, and he was saying, oh, God, make haste. Now, there are several ways of looking at this prayer. I'm not really sure that I can agree with David's way of praying here. And it's okay for me to say that, because David is not Jesus. And I don't agree with everything David did in his life. Do you? Because we got an open book of his life, and he's as bad as any Jimmy Swaggart or Jim Baker that ever lived. That's right. But yet he was a man after God's own heart. And he said things and did things, even though he was a chosen vessel to be used of God. There were some things that David said and did that pointed to the fact that he had a problem with humanity like we all do. And undoubtedly in his mind, 1,023 years before the birth of Christ, David felt like that the Lord needed to hurry up and answer some prayers for him. But I want to tell you, you can't hurry God up. You can't make God do anything faster than God's going to do it. Amen. Because how can you get God to be faster than already done? That's pretty fast, isn't it? I mean, that's faster than the speed of light. That's faster than the speed of all the radio signals. It's fast. When you ask God to do something, He's so fast that you can't bat your eye quick enough, because that's too much time going by. In other words, whatever we ask, He knows our needs before we ask, and we can go beyond in light of the Scriptures that we have before us, and we can say He's already answered the prayer too. He has already come to the rescue. He has already fought the battles. He's already made a way when there seemed to be no way. He has devised a plan, and He has made it so that if there's any waiting, it's not God that's hesitating. It's something to do with humanity. It's something to do with our limitations in time. Something to do with our misunderstandings and lack of judgment and lack of knowledge. And evidently David, even though he was one of the mightily used men of God and was anointed king, had a few things to learn about God. Hurry up, God. Hurry up, God, to deliver me. God was probably trying to get his attention to say, hurry up, David, and be delivered. Hurry up, David. Claim your deliverance. Because why ask God for something that He's already done? what David should have done if he had had a clear understanding at this time, but he evidently was one of those times when he'd been thinking on the carnal side. What he should have done was just said, "Thank you, God, for my deliverance. Thank you, God, that you're helping me. Thank you, Lord, that those that seek after my soul have been turned backward and there's nothing they can do. Praise God." And I'm not really here to talk about David as much as I am to talk about us. When we ask God for things in our lives, we should try to come to an understanding, especially since we've had a good amount of teaching and we've had some prayers and we've seen God intervene many times in our lives, and we have seen a pattern of how God works. He always operates according to the way He always operates. Amen. He will do what we seek Him for because He has already done it. We need to lay hold on eternal life. When we ask Jesus to cleanse us of all of our sins, where do we find the answer? 2,000 years ago, at a place called Calvary, the cleansing was provided. 2,000 years ago, at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, when the blood was shed, the answer to our prayer was provided. Dear God, heal me of my sickness. Hurry up, God, I'm hurting. Please, Lord, hurry. I hurt, God. I'm hurting now, and I need your help now. There is a problem that gets involved here, and it has to do with our human being frailty. And that is, the human mind sometimes thinks thoughts that causes doubt and fear. We have things that get in our way and cause us to feel like God is just another somebody that we're counting on to do something sometime soon, and we hope you'll hurry up, just like Uncle Charlie or Aunt Sue. They've been promising me something for a long time. And I'm waiting on my inheritance to come because my rich uncle should die any time now. And I'm sure he included me in his will. And there are a lot of things I'm looking forward to someday. And it's easy for us as human beings to think that everything has to be way out there somewhere. To think that every promise that's ever given to us cannot happen to us now. It's too good to be true. And it's easy for us just to doubt it enough that we can't receive it. Just like these people coming and seeking for the Holy Ghost after these services. The Holy Ghost was poured upon them the first time they bent their knee to pray. And it was provided before they were born. And they're saying, "God, please, Lord, I'm seeking for the Holy Ghost," in some cases. Some are seeking, "Oh God, I'm trying to find the Holy Ghost. I'm trying to find how I can have the Holy Ghost." God is saying, as you're saying, "Hurry up and give me the Holy Ghost, God. Hurry up and give me the Holy Ghost." He's saying, "Would you please hurry up and receive what I've already given you?" And these people who keep claiming that there's a problem that's so hard that it's going to take a mighty move of God to move this mountain. It's going to take really a great miracle, because Aunt Dorothy has cancer. It's going to take her life. Now, we look at things like terminal disease when the doctor says terminal. But that's it. It's over. Who in God's creation has the right to speak concerning human life and say, "You've had it"? Only God has the right to take away our life. Only God has a right to decide when it's terminal and when it's not terminal. So when some physician says, there's nothing that can be done, look him right in the eye and say, you're a liar. Because he's a liar. Well, you might do it more respectfully than that. You don't have to say it audibly, you know, say it in your mind. I mean, you don't want to lose your doctor, of course. But when the doctor says, there's no hope, rest assured in the confidence of the Word that he's wrong. When your body says, I can't take anymore, tell yourself, you're a liar. Sometimes you need to bite your own tongue and tell it to shut up. Because sometimes the words of our mouths bring forth something that takes away what we could be receiving. When I claim that this problem is so difficult that I just don't see how it's going to be solved, I'm spending my words and my time and my energy when I could be saying, I know God has this under control and somehow this is going to turn out for the glory of God, and I thank God that He sees what I'm going through and He's already taken care of this problem. And you can go on rejoicing. You can spend the same amount of time rejoicing because of your knowledge of what God has already done as you do complaining about what you wish He'd hurry up and do. David wrote over 100 Psalms. Finally, he got it right toward the end. Praise ye the Lord! But man, we got Psalms. Oh God, my enemies are up against me. I'm up against enemies. Oh God, they're out to kill me. Oh God, my case, hurry up, deliver me. My soul's crying out to you. Oh God, oh my Lord Jesus, do something. Let them all be ashamed that have something against me, God. Put them all to confusion. Oh God, people desire my hurt. My enemies are all around me. They're encamped around me. Oh God, and he finally starts saying, oh, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If he'd have started out like he ended up, Psalms probably wouldn't have been over 5 chapters. And I want to tell you, if you would start out with the praise instead of complaint, you might find that you have better financial conditions, better jobs, better health, better testimonies, a better church, a better environment, a better home, get along better with your friends, there's more enjoyment in your family. There's so much to look forward to. Life is so great if you just spend some time praising God in the midst of trouble. Instead of, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. Hurry up, God. Do something. I'm stuck, God. I don't know which way to turn. My enemies are against me. They're always going to be against you. Always have been. They were against you when you came to God. So what happened now that you can't hold on to God? Well, the enemies are just like they've always been. And God's just like He's always been. He didn't change. He won't change. I'm not throwing this at anybody. I'm trying to make sure that my ears hear it again. Because every day there's a new challenge. Every day there is a new threat to my salvation. Every day there is a new attempt to destroy my walk with God. And I say that about me, and I know it's true about all of us. Every day that we wake up in the morning, there's a brand new set of battle strategies, and the enemies are encamped around us looking for one slip up, looking for one opportunity, just for the right conditions so they can throw a dart, throw a knife, shoot a bow and arrow, or drop an A-bomb on you. Whatever they can do. Praise God. And at the same time, when you wake up in the morning, God is there. God is there. That's why it's always good to start your morning with praise on your heart. It's better to start out before you get out of the bed saying, "Praise God," than it is to get out of bed and plan on praising God as soon as you wake up. It's better to go ahead and praise God while you're half asleep. Because you might put your foot on the floor and step on a scorpion. That'll wake you up. Or a mouse. Some people seem like they're more afraid of a mouse than they are a rattlesnake. I've been in little places where people gather together and a mouse come running through, and I've seen people jump up on chairs and say, "Ah!" And some of them are big, tough-looking men. Oh, mouse! What can a mouse do? Big, tough, strong men get scared of a little mouse, but they won't even praise God and have no fear that the enemy's out to destroy their soul and send them to torment forever. It's time for somebody to stand up and say, "I don't care what the mouse can do, but I'm not going to let the devil have his way in my life anymore." Make haste, oh God. Hurry up, God. Oh God, hurry. Deliver me. Oh God. Deliver me. Help me, Jesus. Prayer room is full sometimes of people saying, "Oh God, I need your help. I need your help. Help me, God. Help me." He already did. Wouldn't it be nice to spend those same moments of breathing and using syllables of the tongue instead of asking God to do something He already did over and over, which is nothing but vain repetitions? Nothing wrong with it, but it could be replaced with something better. Nothing wrong with it unless that's the limitation of how far you go in prayer. Just, "Help me, God, help me, God, help me, God, help me, God." That's, might as well say, "Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary." All one and the same. Vain repetitions. God's not impressed if you say, "Our Father which art in heaven, our 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 Father which art in heaven." Because while you stand there after 10,000 times, one little child can walk up and say, "Praise God." And God will hear that prayer and will not hear all of your fathers which are in heaven. He's not listening to vain repetitions. In the prayer that Jesus prayed just before He was crucified, Jesus said, "I pray not for the world." And one day they go to town and everybody's busy and nobody notices as they're leaving town, Jesus is not with them anymore. And they say, "We got to go find that boy. He's gotten lost from the company. Where is he?" And they return to Jerusalem and they find Jesus in a place talking to some lawyers and some doctors. He's just a little boy. And his mother says, "Son, we've been concerned. We've been looking for you. We worried. We've been concerned. Why have you done us this way?" And he says, "Mama, don't you know I have to be about my Father's business? There came a time when it wasn't Dada anymore. There came a time when nobody had to tell Jesus who Daddy is. There came a time when He knew that there was something greater. And so when Jesus said, 'I must be about my Father's business,' He was not talking about being about the business of being a carpenter for Joseph." And Mary knew that there had been something revealed. And her son Jesus was growing up. And then, when he was a little older, there was a need for a miracle because they were at a marriage and the wine had run out. And the servants were at wit's end. They didn't know what to do. The king said, "I want more wine." But there was no more wine. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, interceded for humanity to talk to her son. And she told them, "Whatever he says for you to do, do it." Now, she still had some charge. And she said, "Son, there's a need for wine." But he got his instructions somewhere from within, because already he was being led of a spirit that's not of this world. So, with the anointing that is in us, that we call the Holy Ghost, Jesus said, tell them to fill the... He said, fill the water pots up with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And bear it to the governor of the feast. And they did. And he said, my, what good wine this is. In most occasions such as this, you give that which is best in the beginning, and then when you run out, you go get whatever you had and you serve it. But here you save the best to last. He did not realize that Jesus had turned the water into wine, but the servants knew, and Mary knew, and the servants didn't do it. Mary didn't do it, but the Father did it. Because he was about his Father's business. But when Jesus was crucified, when he bowed his head and died, it was finished when Jesus said, it is finished. And so when we go to God in the name of Jesus and say, Jesus, please tell the Father that I need this, that's vain repetition. Why don't you just go ahead and thank God that He has supplied your need at Calvary? Because every need of humanity was taken care of when Jesus died on the cross. And you could speak to the mountain and say, be removed and cast into the sea, because my God has already supplied this need. We do all that we do in word or deed in the name of the Lord Jesus, even if we don't speak the name of Jesus, because we are baptized in the name of Jesus. And I've been criticized for not praying over my food sometimes when I'm so hungry I forget to pray. And I've looked at those critics, and I'd say to them after they say, our Heavenly Father which art in heaven, please God bless this food right now. I'd say, how stupid. Vain repetition. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for this food. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to know every time I eat, if I never speak a word, I'm eating in thanksgiving, in praise, in the name of Jesus, in continual prayer, always praying, continually praying, never ceasing to pray, praying without ceasing, whether I speak, whether I don't speak. I spoke with everything I had when I walked into the waters of baptism, and I had repented of my sins, and I was buried in the name of Jesus, and everything I touch, it's touched in Jesus' name. You prayed in Jesus' name against sin and iniquity because God gave you that ability. You move mountains in Jesus' name. But when you go to God, you are Jesus' name. If you've been filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, you are the people of the name. Because the Bible does say, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Stretch out on His word. Step out on the waters of impossibility and adversity, knowing that you're a child of the King and that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That name is not Rendell Rutledge that's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That name that I have written in the Lamb's Book of Life is Jesus. And when I go to Stanford and say, I need a place to worship God, I say to the man, I want that building, and I do it in Jesus' name. And he never hears me say Jesus' name. But he does things he can't understand. Why is he doing it? When I go to Norwich and I say, I want this, and I smile and I talk to the businessman, and he just melts. And he starts giving me money to buy this with. Then he says, I don't know why I'm doing this. I know why, because I did it in Jesus' name. And then what I did after that, I went and prayed to Jesus in private. I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But what I did before that was, I looked at the need and I saw how God had the ability and had already done all that needs to be done to work it out. And before I asked for it, I thanked Him for it. I'm giving you the key, Holy Ghost seeker, for receiving the Holy Ghost. Before you ask Him again for the Holy Ghost, thank Him for it. Because He already gave it to you. You say, but I don't have it. How can I thank Him for something I don't have? That's your problem. That's your problem. Because if you don't have it and it's been given to you, then you need to find it. You say, well, I would if God would show me where it is. He already did. Poured out on you. You're bathing in it. It's going from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And you're saying, oh God, I'm looking for the Holy Ghost. Try just rubbing yourself a little bit. It's all over you. From the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. It's trying to get inside. Open your ears. Let it come in this way. Let it come in this way. Hallelujah. Just open your mouth. Let it come in this way. Pretty soon you'll get so full it'll start coming out. Praise God. The Holy Ghost has been poured out. And every miracle, there are more miracles poured out on humanity than we'll ever be able to receive. There are more healings that are poured out on all of us than we can ever pray for or hope for. There are more things supplied than you could ever, ever possibly need. And it was all taken care of in Jesus' name. So what He wants us to be able to do is say, I've already been to the water. I've already been baptized. I've been filled with the Spirit of God. And I know who my intercessor was and is and will be. And I know that He already prayed for me. And I know it's up to me now to believe the prayer and to accept the plan. Hallelujah. And so I'm not saying don't pray in Jesus' name. Speak the name of Jesus. Claim the name of Jesus. But don't just go around saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. You'd be better off if you shut your mouth and go out and tell somebody you have an opportunity to know God. Come with me to the church. And then when you see them filled with the Holy Ghost, you could testify, I invited them to our church in the name of Jesus. Would you raise your hands and praise the Lord right now? Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Where is that prayer that Jesus prayed? Matthew, I believe. Matthew. Maybe. I don't know where it is. John 17. Amen. I love to read it. I just never can remember where it is. But when I want Jesus to intercede for me, I read this. Hallelujah. When I need somebody to spend some time in intercessory prayer, I read this. John 17. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. Now, all you are trying to get Jesus to do something now need to claim what He has already finished. Because when He prayed this prayer, He had accomplished what you're praying for Him to do. Praise God. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them, I pray not for the world. Who's he talking about? Somebody says, he's just talking about those disciples. No, he's talking about those that are his that have come out from the world. At that particular time, you didn't live. But today, you can claim this as your prayer from the intercessor. Hallelujah. I pray for them and not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. Do you belong to Jesus? How many of you can say, I am his and he is mine? Would you raise your hand? Praise God. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. This is Jesus praying intercessory prayer. This is the only mediator praying, the only mediating prayer that there is that can possibly be prayed. If you want to have mediation or intercession, you have to surrender to the prayer that Jesus prayed. It might take total submission, and you may shed a lot of tears, and you may groan, and you make sounds that you don't understand, and the Spirit itself is making intercessions that you don't understand through groanings that you don't know what's going on. But what's happening is, if you get into it just right, your flesh has to give in all the way, and it goes all the way back to when Jesus was praying, your spirit is there with Him. Because you cannot pray an intercessory prayer. All you can do is totally surrender to the intercessory prayer. And that's true intercession. Hallelujah. You cannot fast and move God. But you can enter into the fast, and you may want to fast as you do it, that God has already overcome through fasting and prayer, the power that it takes to cast out devils. You cannot do some things unless you do it with prayer and fasting. But unless you can accept the prayer that Jesus prayed, you'll never cast out a devil. Unless you do it in the name of Jesus. And I'm not just saying, say the name of Jesus. I'm saying, do it in the name of Jesus. We were baptized in His name, but are you still baptized in His name? And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. He's praying futuristically, presently, and past. Prophetically, as a mediator, and as an intercessor, the great I am that is looking forward to eternity, backward, in eternity, upward and downward, and sees humanity, he is interceding for Mary, the mother of Jesus, for Peter, for James, for John, for everybody in this place tonight. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. Who is? Is John in the world today? No, John is dead today. He will live again. But today this is personal in 1991, an eternal prayer of the intercessor, an eternal prayer of the mediator. And if you have the Holy Ghost, you've been buried in His name, you can say with authority to the devil to get lost. And you can thank the Lord for doing the work. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. And those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost. Who's he praying for? Raise your hand if you think it's you. Praise God. Y'all just wave your hand and thank God that Jesus cared enough to pray for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. But he goes on and says, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might fulfill. Somebody says, there it is. That's Judas. No, it's the son of perdition. Praise God. There's a lot more to the son of perdition than Judas. The son of perdition is here tonight. And his name may not be Judas, but there are people here that will betray our Lord once again. Because the spirit of betrayal, denial, is still around. Some call it the Antichrist. Some call it the spirit of Antichrist. Some call it the beast. But it's simply a spirit that can get on a person and cause a person to be willing to sell cheaply for even 30 pieces of silver and say, the one that I kiss, the one that I act like I love, is the one that needs to be crucified. It wasn't just Judas that went around saying, Lord, we love you. Father God, tell Mary to tell your son Jesus to send the Holy Spirit to tell my mother that she needs to pray to St. Jude. That's the son of perdition that would cause that to be prayed. He comes in pomp and circumstances. Great crowds gather together. He dresses up in a robe. Millions of people are viewing by television. Thousands throng him. He's infallible. Everybody knows that he cannot do wrong because he is the Pope. Son of perdition. Saying, I love him, but not teaching what Jesus taught. Not believing what Jesus instructed. Allowing millions around the world to claim to be the universal church and continue in sin. When Jesus said the wages of sin is death. All liars will have their part in the lake that burns with fire. But you go to Mass and the priest stands up with his collar buttoned and lies. And says, you don't have to repent of your sins. You don't have to be baptized in the name of Jesus. You don't have to even speak in tongues. You don't even have to have a Bible or believe the Bible. Just believe what the preacher says. Just go along with the crowd. Drink when you want to drink. Just keep it moderate. Smoke when you want to smoke. It's okay to curse. It's okay to lie. If you get angry and you want to fail God through anger, go ahead. It's one thing to be angry because you fail God, but you need to get past it quick because God's not pleased with anger. But a priest will tell you, anger's good for you. Anger's good for you. Be angry and sin not is not a commandment. It's just when you're angry, make sure that you get rid of it so you won't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Because God knows we have a problem with that. Hallelujah. But to hear the priest say it, it's a commandment because it's coming from the son of perdition. I love him. Holy Father, I love Him. They wear their big robes. People look at them and say, Father. When Jesus said, call no man on the earth Father. Everybody that calls a human being Father, other than his natural Father, is disobeying God. And disobedience has a penalty of hell and judgment. Let's stand together. Praise God, Judas was just a man who followed the spirit of the Son of perdition. And they're still doing it today. Praise God. Jesus said, I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, thou may be perfect, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, and thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Didn't he promise just before he went away, after he was crucified, or before he was crucified, that in my Father's house are many mansions, but were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And then just before he ascended, he said, Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. That's what we've been doing in this service tonight. We have been with Jesus tonight, where He is. Jesus is in this place in the power of the Holy Ghost. There are people here tonight that have Christ in us, the hope of glory, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Right after that prayer, Judas betrayed him. Is that what you're going to do tonight? Let us bow our heads. Praise God. You say, I love you, Jesus. You sit at the table and you eat with Him. You sip with Him on the same cup. You walk with Him as He does His miracles, and you pray occasionally along the way, and you talk to Him, and you see Him opening the blinded eyes, setting the captive free, and you watch your friends as their lives are changed, and they have a testimony that God has done great things. Now will you, after this great prayer has been prayed for you, go out and follow the Son of perdition? Go tell somebody after this service there's nothing to that apostolic bunch. Just a bunch of garbage. Go tell your friend that you went to a little church of fanaticism. Somebody spoke against the Catholic Church. Somebody said something about the Virgin. Blasphemed in the pulpit. Go on and sell out for 30 pieces of silver. But I want to tell you something. The son of perdition has already been dealt with. And you're fighting a losing battle just like the communist that wrote the article we heard about tonight. They thought they could overthrow Gorbachev. And they could have, if they could have gotten a little bit more support from the people. But the people rose up in a great multitude. And somebody had had a taste of freedom so to the point that they were willing to give their life for the cause of freedom, having spent their life in oppression and suppressed under communist rule. A little taste of freedom gave them a little touch of hope. So they stood until Gorbachev was released. And now he's putting the enemies down and putting new people in high places. But that's Russia. And they may get Gorbachev tomorrow, and they may be communist again by next week. But tonight, if you had a taste of freedom, praise God, Jesus is here. And there's not one enemy that can come against you to try to overthrow you that Jesus cannot take out of your pathway. Would you raise your hand and just start thanking Him for it tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we've had a taste of Your liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I thank You, Lord, we're not under the bondage of rules and regulation. I thank You, God, that we don't have to pray our prayers with rules and legislation. That we don't have to take a creed and follow it. Lord, that we don't have to be religious followers of men. But I thank You, Lord, that You have abolished religion and philosophy and vain deceit. I thank You, Lord, You have done away with vanity prayers. You have done away, Lord, with programs. You have done away, Lord, with Phariseeistic attitudes. God, You have humiliated humanism. Hallelujah. And You have brought down those that brought themselves up. And Lord God, You have destroyed all the works of the flesh. And Lord, You have made all the crooked places straight. And those that thought they were kings have had to bow and admit that You're the King of Kings. I thank You, Lord Jesus, tonight that You have prayed a prayer for me and for us. Hallelujah. And I don't want to be a Judas, God. I'm not leaning across the table tonight, Lord, asking, is it me? But I'm leaning across this table, Jesus, saying, Lord, it is not I. I'm following You. I'm trusting You. And I will not sell out. In Jesus' name, I say that from my heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Praise God. With your eyes closed a moment, let me answer your question. What do we do, Pastor, from now on? Can we say the name of Jesus? I would suggest that you speak that name more than you've ever spoken it before. But don't depend on your vocabulary or the utterance of your sound being the power, the manifestation of the name of Jesus in your life. Don't just do things in word only, but in deed. Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus. If you're praying for a lost neighbor to find salvation, you can pray all day in Jesus' name out loud that that neighbor will be saved. But until you knock on the door and sit down and have a cup of coffee and tell them that they got a pretty baby, you may not see that neighbor saved. Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You may pray that God would stir up your lost loved one's heart and cause that person to find God. You can pray all day and you can say, in Jesus' name, move them, Lord. In Jesus' name, oh God, touch the heart. In Jesus' name, cause them to see their need of God. But until you pick up the telephone and say, Aunt Martha, could I come and visit you? I have some good news to share with you. And you get in your car and you drive over to Aunt Martha's house and say, "My, what pretty flowers you have. You have utterly wasted your time praying in Jesus' name." He says, "We are laborers together. We are laborers together with Him." Oh, I thought I was praying in Jesus' name. You may have been, but did you do anything in Jesus' name? Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Now, with our heads bowed again, is there somebody that wants to do something beyond praying in Jesus' name? And you want to do what it takes to receive what God has provided for you. Hallelujah. You want to come up here and say, "I'm here to thank God for my salvation. I'm here to praise God with all my heart. I'm not going to come tonight saying, 'Lord, hurry up and give me the Holy Ghost.' But I'm coming to hurry up and receive the Holy Ghost. I'm not coming tonight, Lord, saying, 'Hurry up and heal my body.' But I'm bringing my body up and claiming my healing in Jesus' name, because my God has provided it." Who would come first with a claim of victory, with a praise in your heart? Hallelujah, because God has worked it out. You've already prayed in Jesus' name. Now do something in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We've been praying in Jesus' name for years for the same needs over and over. Somebody needs to do something. Faith without works is dead. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to give in all the way. Somebody needs to give up. Somebody needs to totally surrender. Hallelujah. Jesus is saying, "Make haste. Come unto me. Make haste. Accept what has been finished for you. Make haste. Give yourself to God." Hallelujah. 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 Oh, is there anybody else that'd like to come up tonight and say, "I'm coming claiming victory, because I'm coming with the intention of leaving this place and putting legs on some prayers I've been praying. There are people I've been concerned about that I've prayed about, but I've never gone to them and told them that I was concerned. I've never taken the time to call them. I've never taken the time to visit them." You'd like to come tonight and thank the Lord that He's been watching you, hearing you, and you'd like to commit yourself with His help to go forth from this prayer with God going with you, with God being with you, and you're going to grind the job instead of standing there knowing you've prayed. You're going to do something to let that person know that you care. Hallelujah! Whatever you do in word or in deed, who else wants to come and claim? Make a claim on the power of the name that's within you. Your name is already written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name is a name that's above every name. The name of Jesus is in your forehead. The name of Jesus is in your heart. The name of Jesus has sealed you. It's in you. It's on you. It's through you. When you lift up hands, you're lifting up holy hands. Hallelujah. You don't need to raise your voice and say, "I hurt." You need to raise your voice and say, "I'm healed in the name of Jesus." Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My God, my God, my God. You don't need to raise your voice and say, "I have problems." You need to raise your voice and say, "My God has supplied all my needs according to His riches in glory. And the problems that have come into my life are well taken care of in His hand." Hallelujah! Everything's under control because I know I'm His and He is mine. I'm in Him and He's in me. And when I rise up in the morning, I rise in the name of Jesus. When I drive my car, I drive in the name of Jesus. When I pay my bills, I pay my bills in the name of Jesus. When I answer my telephone, I answer in the name of Jesus. I may not always say the word, but I have spoken the word. I have received the word. And my name is a name above every name, because I am not my own. I'm bought with a price. Hallelujah. Praise God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. How do you do that? Draw nigh unto God. How do you do that? Praise Him. Praise ye the Lord. Praise Him in the sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him on the stringed instruments. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. You that are troubled, praise the Lord. You that are seeking, praise the Lord. You that are hurting, praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. He inhabits the praise of His people, not the complaints. He doesn't hurry when you tell Him to hurry. He already hurried. He's looking for somebody to praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with all your heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God. Hallelujah. He knows we're dust. He knows our frame. He knows what we're made out of. He's not interested in hearing our complaints all day long. What He wants to do is find somebody that's praising Him in the midst of the darkness. Praising Him in the midst of the problem. Praising Him in the midst of the sickness. Praising Him when you're waiting for the Holy Ghost to come in. Praise Him until you receive the promise from on high. Hallelujah. They were in the temple continually praising God when healings were taking place. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You don't have to stop and wonder if you did it in the name of Jesus. If you praise Him, if you've got the Holy Ghost, you've been baptized in Jesus' name, you're praising Him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Because you cannot praise Him right unless you do it in the power of the name that has been given to you above every name. Hallelujah. The Lord receives the praise of Jesus' name, people. Jesus prayed for Jesus' name, people. Jesus prayed for those that the Father had given Him. Past, present, and future. God predestinated a church spotless and clean. God presents this church to Himself spotless and clean. Tonight, I'm part of a great, glorious church that the Father is presenting unto Himself, predestined to be the bride of Christ from the dawning of the firmament until the rising of the end, to the beginning of the day dawn, till the day star from on high has shined forth in my heart, and we shine as the lights of the firmament of God. I praise Him because I am in Jesus' name, Holy Ghost filled, apostolic, tongue-talking, obeying child of God, filled with the promises of God. When I raise my hand, I'm raising the hands of Jesus. When I stomp my feet, I'm stomping the feet of Jesus. When I take a step, I'm walking in the steps of Jesus. When I drive my car, I'm driving down the highway through the power that's vested in me, through the glorious gospel of the name of Jesus. When we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover, for we lay hands on them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Raise your hands and praise Him some more. Praise Him some more. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you, God, for the power that you've given us. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So many times in the Scripture we read suddenly, quickly, suddenly, quickly, in a twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. He that has an ear to hear realizes, praise God, the moment that you surrender, that's suddenly. Hallelujah. The moment you praise Him with all your heart, suddenly comes from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. Hallelujah. Behold, I come quickly. I thought that was only in the end time when half a bat of an eye He was going to suddenly appear in the sky. No. Quickly is the moment that you receive Him into your heart. Quicker than you can bat your eye. Faster than the speed of light. Praise God. Dear God, I want to thank You, Lord, that You fasted and prayed for us. I want to thank You, Jesus, tonight, Lord, that You taught us a lesson that answers to prayer often come when we have broken through into a spirit of praise. And Lord, once again, You have reminded us that we need to be praising God. Hallelujah. Rather than praying in Jesus' name for God to hurry up and answer our prayers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, forgive us for the times of our ignorance when our supposing to have faith has been nothing but a manifestation of doubt. When time and time again we have prayed in the name of Jesus. I'm asking God to supply this need. When, Lord, really we should have spent that breath and that time saying, thank You, Lord, that You have supplied this need. And we claim the power of the name of Jesus that's in us as we lay hands on the sick. Thank You, Lord, that we're going to see the recovery. As we cast out the devil, Lord, we realize that it's not our power, but we know it's a name that is given among men. Hallelujah, whereby we must be saved. And that every knee must bow at the name of Jesus. When Jesus exercises His power, God, He does it when we have surrendered our lives and our will. I thank You, Lord, for the knowledge of Your Word. And I pray that You'd bless everybody here to understand and to go forth as conquerors and to rise and shine and give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen.